Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton of Vancouver will join us in 1 hour from now. He is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. We have a number of interesting items on tap for you today. We're going to look at a couple of news stories before Greg comes on the show. And then once he comes on, we're going to chat about several items of interest to him, including what is presently happening with Canadian media and how that relates to the police state that is coming in America. Greg's also going to be covering the Security and Prosperity Partnership arrangement for a North American union on that side of the border, talking about how it's being sold to the Canadian people, or more appropriately, what's not being said to the Canadian people about the whole issue of the North American union and the Security and Prosperity Partnership arrangement. So that's kind of where we're headed with Greg at 8 o'clock this morning. Between now and then, there are a series of news items to report, including the fact that we have a very positive development that's taken place here at Mark Dankoff's America. We are going to have several additional people that are going to be on the show. Hesham Talawi is going to be on tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the morning Central Time to talk about his recent trip to Palestine. I've been wanting Dr. Talawi to come on ever since he got back from Palestine to give us an update on that trip. He, of course, did this in Sandpoint, Idaho recently at the big conference up there being sponsored by, I believe it's America's Promise Ministries. Mark Lynn and Michael Collins Piper were speakers at that event, which the American Free Press has been covering. And I understand that Dr. Talawi had an absolutely incredible appearance there, talking about his recent foray into Palestine and what he observed there. He's going to cover that with us tomorrow between 9 and 10 o'clock in the morning Central Time. We have a number of other interesting items to report, including the fact that Dale Crowley Jr. is going to be a regular part of this show 1 day a week for 1 hour. We haven't yet decided upon the particular day, but he's going to come on 1 day a week for 1 hour to discuss some of the things ongoingly that he chatted with us about last week. Dale Crowley Jr. is clearly one of the long-term giants in terms of fighting Christian Zionism. I think it's absolutely important that he be given a segment on this show. One of the things that, of course, came up when Pastor Crowley was on last week is all of these circumstances that surround his being bounced from corporate radio up in Washington, D.C. after a 20-year stint on one of the major networks up there. It seems to me that this is something that needs to be understood against the larger backdrop of what's been happening in this country in regard to media censorship. A media censorship that will continue as we get closer and closer towards a complete cataclysm as it relates to the collapse potentially of our central banking system and certainly an expansion of our military operations abroad and especially in the Middle East. Dale Crowley Jr. of Washington, D.C. will join me 1 day a week for 1 hour. It'll be a 9 to 10 a.m. segment. And again, we're not sure which of the 3 days would be best for Dale, whether that be a Tuesday, a Wednesday, or a Thursday. But on one of those dates in the not-too-distant future, it will be announced that he will be a regular on this show for a particular time slot. So that will give us Greg Felton, of course, as a regular on Mondays. It will give us Mark Glenn and Father John Martinez as regulars on Friday. And then, of course, either Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, we'll have Dale Crowley Jr. as a regular on this show for 1 hour in a 9 to 10 a.m. Central segment. Number of interesting things to cover today. I'd like to go back and take a look at a story that was written a few days ago by Philip Giraldi. Many of you know who he is. He's been on this show. He is a correspondent for Pat Buchanan's American Conservative. He is also a consultant for Canestraro Associates. A few days ago, I did not have time to do it on the show, but on August 14th, Phil Giraldi had a post entitled "Neolibs and Neocons, United and Interchangeable." We'll take a look at that one when we come back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7, but I never have to go to work.
So, what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton of Vancouver joins us in 1 hour from now. Greg is, of course, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. That's a Dandelion Books publication. That's Carol Adler's company in Tempe, Arizona. We have a number of things to discuss this morning, including the fact, as I have already mentioned, Dale Crowley Jr. is going to be a regular on this show. We just have to get the date firmed up when he's going to begin and the time slot. Dale Crowley Jr. you can look for in a future time frame on either a Tuesday, a Wednesday, or a Thursday on this show for 1 hour from 9 to 10 a.m. Central. And again, as that firms up, we will let you know, but I'm really looking forward to having him on. That will mean that in addition to Greg Felton as a regular on Mondays, and Mark Lennon, Father Martinez, as regulars on Fridays, that we will get Dale Crowley Jr. on this show in a very proximate time frame. And once that's firmed up, we will let you know. Tomorrow, as I mentioned, Hesham Talawi is on tap for 1 hour from 9 to 10 a.m. Central. I'd like for him to cover what he learned in his recent trip to Palestine much of which he talked about in his recent appearance in Sandpoint, Idaho, along with Michael Collins Piper and Mark Glenn. That will be Hesham Talawi up at the plate tomorrow at 9 a.m. Central to talk about his recent trip to Palestine. Back to something that I wanted to take a look at last week, did not have a chance to explore it in any detail, but Philip Giraldi has a post at antiwar.com entitled "Neo-Libs and Neocons United and Interchangeable." Phil Giraldi, of course, is Pat Buchanan's regular correspondent at the American Conservative. He is a former CIA officer and a consultant with Canestraro Associates, and this is what Giraldi has to say in this most recent post. When it comes to foreign policy, particularly as it relates to the Middle East, there's not a whole lot of separation between the Democratic and Republican parties. Republicans tend to be more bellicose in their statements, but Democrats have more than made up for that with their steely resolve to take the fight to the enemy wherever he might be. Both Republicans and Democrats reflexively support Israel, and nearly all candidates are in agreement on a number of other areas, including an aggressive policy toward Iran. This unanimity is not particularly surprising, as there is little or no serious debate on foreign policy, and many of the leading candidates' advisors are graduates of the same school of thought, i.e. that the United States must use its military power to impose certain standards on the rest of the world. Neoconservatives and neoliberals are really quite similar, so it doesn't matter who gets elected in 2008. The American public, weary of preemptive attacks, democracy promotion, and nation building, will still get war either way. The key to understanding the direction that candidates will take is to examine their foreign policy advisors. The candidates themselves, with one or two exceptions, know little about the world and its problems. They operate on a basis of packaged responses to set questions and are essentially looking for quick soundbite solutions that will enable them to be characterized as strong on national security. Apart from that, most would be quite willing to leave the subject alone. How they think is processed and filtered by their advisors, most of whom appear to believe that the American public has an unending appetite for overseas adventures, in spite of the fact that such policies have brought nothing but grief for the past 15 years. Neither Republicans nor Democrats are shy about using force. Bill Clinton enforced sanctions on Iraq that led to the deaths of hundreds of thousands. He killed hundreds, perhaps thousands of civilians when he bombed Serbia, and he was more than willing to use cruise missiles against civilian targets in Sudan and Afghanistan. George Bush has accepted a rather broader mandate, invading two countries and bombing several more, resulting in hundreds of thousands dead. The two leading Democratic candidates for president are undeniably Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Hillary is regarded as by far the more conservative candidate, and that she has carefully triangulated her potential supporters and is unwilling to say that her vote in the Senate in support of the Iraq War was a mistake. She has also positioned herself with the Israel lobby through her pledge to disarm Iran by whatever means necessary and her threat to use nuclear weapons on terrorists. Her foreign policy advisors are a who's who of neoliberal hawks, including former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, who famously believed that the deaths of 500,000 Iraqi children due to sanctions was quote-unquote worth it. Clinton is also being advised by Richard Holbrook, who is reported to be close to Paul Wolfowitz. Holbrook is a possible candidate for Secretary of State if Clinton is elected president. Holbrook has been a supporter of the Iraq War, and he was an architect of the 1999 bombing of Serbia. Strobe Talbot, who advised Bill Clinton and was also involved with the bombing of Serbia, is reported to be another Hillary advisor. Barack Obama is somewhat more enigmatic, but his recent ill-advised pledge to attack Pakistan if Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf does not do something about the Taliban and Al-Qaeda shows that he is working hard to catch up. Obama's key advisors who speak for him on foreign policy include Gregory Craig, Anthony Lake, and Samantha Power. Craig is a leading Washington lawyer who was a White House special counsel under Bill Clinton and defended the president in his impeachment trial. Lake was also a Bill Clinton advisor who was involved in the Bosnian conflict. Power is an Irish-born Harvard professor from the Kennedy School who is regarded as an expert on third world issues. None of the three is considered to be particularly partisan on any foreign policy issues but genocide, which Power has written a book about. But Obama is also accelerating his efforts to woo Jewish donors and to improve his own standing with AIPAC, which has been suspicious of him because of youthful indiscretions that included expressions of sympathy for the plight of the Palestinians. He recently appointed Eric Lind to develop an aggressive program of outreach to the Jewish community on his record of support for Israel, which he claims is unwavering. Obama fully endorsed Israel's invasion of Lebanon last year, and he has also cited his more recent sponsorship of the Iran Sanctions Enabling Act of May of 2007, another irresponsible piece of legislation by Congress that will increase the suffering of the Iranian people while doing nothing to change the country's leadership. He has pledged that Iran will not be allowed to threaten Israel through its nuclear program, but he is vague on exactly what he would do to stop it. Giuliani, says Phil Giraldi, heads the pack of Republicans in terms of sheer neocon manpower. His appointment of Norman Podhoretz to his team of foreign policy advisors might be a shrewd bid to compete with the Democrats for Jewish money for his campaign, but it might also be reflective of a genuine inclination toward a policy of all aggression all the time. Giuliani has endorsed the use of force to disarm Iran, including using nuclear weapons. Podhoretz has called for a World War IV against Islamofascism, which presumably means a war against all Muslim countries until they surrender. Giuliani is also being advised by Martin Kramer, a leading neocon who is associated with the pro-Israel Washington Institute for Near East Policy. The other two serious Republican contenders, John McCain and Mitt Romney, are also being advised on foreign policy by neoconservatives. McCain is supported by Robert Kagan, a noted American Enterprise Institute chicken hawk and the author of The Surge Policy, and former CIA Director Jim Woolsey, who, like Podhoretz, has called for a world war against Islam. Leading neocon lobbyist Randy Schoeneman, who headed the Committee for the Liberation of Iraq and was on the board of the Project for the New American Century, completes the McCain foreign policy and security team. There are reports that McCain will lose some of his advisors as his campaign is in trouble and that they might gravitate to Romney and Giuliani. McCain also had considerable interaction with neocon elder statesman Richard Perle in the early days of his campaign, but Perle has decided that McCain cannot win the nomination. Perle is deferring judgment on where he should go next. Bill Kristol of the Weekly Standard and Henry Kissinger are also reported to be giving McCain advice. Mitt Romney is being advised by Dan Senor, former AIPAC staffer, who graduated to the post of official spokesman for the Coalitional Provisional Authority in Baghdad. He is also relying on J. Kofor Black, former chief of the CIA's Counterterrorism Center, and now head of Total Intel, a beltway bandit that provides security services to the government. Dark horse, an undeclared Republican candidate Fred Thompson, is being advised by Elizabeth Cheney, daughter of the vice president, and Mark Esper, a Lebanese Christian who is one of the few neocons from an Arab background. All of the Republican and Democratic presidential aspirants appear to believe that a hard line on foreign policy makes them less vulnerable to attack in their run for the nomination. It is very discouraging to note that the advocates of the Iraq War, which is almost universally seen as Washington's greatest foreign policy blunder of the past 100 years, are continuing to play a major role in the shaping of policy for the next generation of political leaders of both political parties. That's the take today from Philip Giraldi. You can find this post at antiwar.com. It's entitled Neolibs and Neocons, United and Interchangeable. What does it say? What we've been saying at the Republic Broadcasting Network for weeks and weeks and weeks, what the American Free Press has been saying for weeks and weeks and weeks, and that is that Ron Paul is the only game in town in regard to legitimate presidential contention in this primary season. Does Ron Paul have a chance of winning the nomination? I don't want to ultimately say that he doesn't, but obviously it is the longest shot of long shots. I believe very firmly that one of the individuals that Philip Giraldi has talked about at this August 14th piece from antiwar.com will be the nominee of the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, respectively, and ultimately will be elected. Who will this person or persons be? Hard to say at this particular juncture. I think at this point, it's probably safe to say that Hillary Clinton will be the Democratic nominee, although I don't think she has a lock on it. On the Republican side, I'm guessing maybe Giuliani. But however it plays, the picture is the same, which spells trouble. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll take a look at a couple of Jerome Corsi items on the Security and Prosperity Partnership arrangement. When we return, Greg Felton at 8.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine-tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Sometimes I think life is just a rodeo. The trick is to ride, make it to the best.
We're back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton will join us this morning at 8 o'clock from Vancouver. He is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. We've read this morning a little bit of Philip Giraldi's piece entitled, Neoliberals and Neocons. You can find that post at antiwar.com, Neolibs and Neocons. United and interchangeable. You know, I met a delightful couple from Germany yesterday who visited Emmanuel Lutheran Church on the south side of San Antonio, and they have sent to me an article by a gentleman by the name of Ernest Kallenbach entitled The Hollowing Out of the American Empire. Apparently, Mr. Kallenbach is a part of the Green Movement in Germany, and it's fascinating to me to see the extent to which much of what he talks about in this essay mirrors some of our concerns on the populist American right. Now, there are some important distinctives as well, and I think that we know this whenever we look at one of these pieces. There are certain aspects of what Kallenbach has to say, for example, about world environmentalism that those of us on the American populist right might not subscribe to at all. But on the other hand, there are some points of intersection here that are quite interesting and quite fascinating. And a little bit later on, either this morning or tomorrow, I might take a look at this essay by Ernst Kallenbach entitled The Hollowing Out of the American Empire. Greg Felton is going to be talking with us today about the Security and Prosperity Partnership Arrangement for a North American Union and what's happening with that on the Canadian side of the border. In preparation for that, it might be appropriate to take a look at the last couple of things that Jerome Corsi has had to say on this subject at WorldNet Daily. There is a post of August 17th, which is now, 3 days ago. It's entitled, Congress Tells Bush, Back Off of the SPP Agenda. Lawmaker's letter warns that stealth effort to harmonize could undermine security. Corsi goes on to say at WorldNet Daily that 22 members of the U.S. House of Representatives, 21 Republicans and a Democrat, are urging President Bush to back off his North American integration efforts when he attends the third summit meeting on the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America next week in Montebello, Quebec. They make it clear that continuing any such agenda at this point would be disregarding growing apprehension in Congress about the plans. Quote, as you travel to Montebello, Canada later this month for a summit with your Canadian and Mexican counterparts, we want you to be aware of serious and growing concerns in the U.S. Congress about the so-called Security and Prosperity Partnership you launched with these nations in 2005, unquote, the letter said. While the letter authors expressed their support for the president's, quote, desire to promote good relations with our neighbors to the north and south, unquote, they are worried about the secretive manner in which SPP is being conducted and concerned that, quote, it may actually undermine our security and sovereignty, unquote. For instance, the letter said, measures that would make it easier to move goods and people across borders could have the effect of further weakening this country's ability to secure its frontiers and prevent illegal immigration, unquote. The letter also cited documents obtained by Judicial Watch and a Freedom of Information Act request that suggest, quote, such secretiveness seems not to be accidental, unquote. WorldNet Daily, according to Corsi, was among the first news organizations to obtain and publish the agenda and the list of attendees for a secret North American Forum meeting held at the Fairmont Banff Springs Hotel in Banff, Alberta, Canada, from September 12th through 14th, 2006. The meeting was closed to the press, and the documents obtained by WorldNet Daily were marked, quote, internal document not for public release, unquote. Judicial Watch also used a Freedom of Information Act request to obtain a set of notes from the Pentagon attendees at the secret Banff meeting. One particularly disturbing comment was noted in the official conference record of the speeches given, as recorded in the rapporteur notes obtained by the Judicial Watch Freedom of Information Act request. In Section 6 of the conference, entitled, quote, Border Infrastructure and Continental Prosperity, unquote, the reporter summarized as follows. To what degree does the concept of North America help or hinder solving problems between the three countries? One, vision is helpful. Two, a secure perimeter would bring enormous benefit. Three, while a vision is appealing, working on the infrastructure might yield more benefit and bring more people on board. Evolution by stealth, quote unquote. Reflecting on those perceptions, Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton said, quote, it is not encouraging to see the phrase evolution by stealth in reference to important policy debates such as North American integration and cooperation. These documents provide more information to Americans concerned about the Security and Prosperity Partnership. The more transparency, the better, unquote. The members, according to Jerome Corsi, also noted in their letter the amendment added by Duncan Hunter, Republican of California, to the transportation funding bill. As WorldNet Daily reported, Hunter successfully offered an amendment to H.R. 3074, the Transportation Appropriations Act for fiscal year 2008, prohibiting the use of federal funds to participate in SPP-related working group meetings in the future. We'll be back, and Greg Felton will join us at 8:00. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey. Shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7. But I never have to go to work.
So, what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So, what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton hooks up with us from Vancouver in about a half an hour from now. He, of course, is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. That is a Dandelion Books publication. That's Carol Adler's company in Tempe, Arizona. Greg wants to talk about a number of things this morning. There is a piece by Mike Whitney dealing with an absolutely catastrophic turn of events in regard to the stock market. We're going to be taking a look at that post. We're going to be talking about the North American Union and the Security and Prosperity Partnership Arrangement. And in preparation for that portion of Greg's segment, I'm reading from Jerome Corsi's latest posts on this at WorldNet Daily. And then Greg has some things to say as well in regard to the whole Palestinian issue. So that's kind of where we're headed with him when he comes on between 8 and 10 o'clock this morning, Central Time. I've also mentioned, of course, that we can expect to see Dale Crowley Jr. as a regular on this show. Dale appeared last week on Mark Dankoff's America, and he and I have agreed that he needs to be on this show on a regular basis. Dale Crowley Jr. was one of the few people, if not the only person that I'm aware of, who was a major, major force on a major Christian radio station at one time in Washington, D.C. for 20 years, talking about the other side of the Palestinian-Israeli controversy, and talking about the other side in regard to Protestant evangelicals who were not in support of Zionism. At the conclusion of 20 years, Dale Crowley Jr. was removed from his post at this station in Washington, D.C., under circumstances that are well-nigh familiar to most of us. And I thought that it would be important to have his perspective back on the airwaves again with me 1 hour a week. He's going to be on either Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday on a regular basis from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Time. And again, we don't have the exact date figured out as to when he's going to begin. But in the not-too-distant future, there will be a press release on this announcing the fact that Dale Crowley Jr. will be joining me on this show for a one-hour segment each week. That will be from 9 to 10 a.m. Central. We just have to figure out if that's going to be a Tuesday, a Wednesday, or a Thursday. Back now to Jerome Corsi's post. WorldNet Daily. Congress tells Bush, back off the Security and Prosperity Partnership agenda. We've been looking at about half of this news story before the commercial break. The members of Congress who have written Mr. Bush have noted in their letter an amendment added by Duncan Hunter, Republican of California, to the transportation funding bill. As WorldNet Daily reported, Hunter successfully offered an amendment to H.R. 3074. The Transportation Appropriations Act for fiscal year 2008, prohibiting the use of federal funds to participate in SPP-related working group meetings in the future. The members noted in their letter that, quote, "This vote is an indication of the serious concerns felt by those of us in Congress and by our constituents about this initiative, concerns that will only be intensified if pursuit of the security, prosperity, and partnership arrangement continues out of public view and without congressional oversight or approval," unquote. The last paragraph of the letter called upon the president, quote, "not to pledge or agree to any further movement in connection with the SPP at the upcoming North American summit," unquote. The letter concluded that, quote, "in the interest of transparency and accountability, we urge you to bring to the Congress whatever provisions have already been agreed upon and those now being pursued or contemplated as a part of this initiative for the purpose of obtaining authorization through the normal legislative process," unquote. Signatories to the letter included the following members of the House of Representatives: Representative Terry Everett, Republican, Alabama; Representative Duncan Hunter, Republican, California; Representative Tom Tancredo, Republican, Colorado; Representative Ted Poe, Republican, Texas; Representative Nancy Boyda, Democrat, Kansas; Representative Walter Jones, Republican, North Carolina; Representative David Davis, Republican, Tennessee; Representative Phil Gingrey, Republican, Georgia; Representative John Boozman, Republican, Arkansas; Representative John Duncan, Republican, Tennessee; Representative Virgil Good, Republican, Virginia; Representative Tom Price, Republican of Georgia; Representative Ginny Brown Waite, Republican, Florida; Representative Sue Myrick, Republican, North Carolina; Representative Joe Bonner, Republican, Alabama; Representative Gary Miller, Republican, California; Representative Steve King, Republican, Iowa; Representative Greg Walden, Republican, Oregon; Representative Michael Rogers, Republican, Alabama; Representative Thaddeus McCotter, Republican, Michigan; Representative Robert Adderholt, Republican, Alabama; Representative Todd Aiken, Republican, Missouri. This is an interesting post by Jerome Corsi of WorldNet Daily. We'll want to take a look at some of the particulars of this with Greg Felton when he comes on at 8 o'clock this morning. But as you look at this thing, perhaps the most important aspect of it, and Greg's going to be talking about this from a Canadian perspective, whether you're looking at the American side of the border or the Canadian, there is a movement to have this whole situation come to pass through the use of stealth. The people behind this want to fly in under political radar. They want this thing to be an accomplished fact over time, And this is what is behind the stealth movement. The evolution by stealth phraseology that appears, of course, in this SPP literature is most instructive because it basically says we want this thing to happen. We want to want it to happen incrementally. We want the public not to understand the larger context of the agenda that is behind this development, and we want to do it with great secrecy. Judicial Watch is to be commended at this particular point for trying to bring all of this out to public light. Jerome Corsi, as much as I disagree with him on the Middle East, and especially with this whole question of Israel, is nonetheless in the forefront of what I consider to be the correct slant on the whole business of a North American Union. And to that extent, we need to take our hats off to both Jerome Corsi and Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton for what they're trying to do on this issue in regard to bringing light of day to this whole situation. We've not seen light of day up to this point in regard to corporate media. We need to keep the pressure on. And if you turn to the August 17th edition of World Net Daily and look for Corsi's post entitled Congress Tells Bush Back Off the SPP Agenda, you will see very quickly that this is a must-read article. Corsi has one other post, by the way, that goes back to August 18th, just 2 days ago. It's entitled China to Install Sensors Along NAFTA Highway. Documents reveal NASCO plan to militarize I-35. Corsi says that radio sensing stations to track traffic and cargo up and down the I-35 NAFTA superhighway corridor are being installed by Communist China, operating through a port operator subsidiary of Hutchison Whampoa in conjunction with Lockheed Martin and the North America's Super Corridor Coalition Incorporated. The idea is that RFID chips placed in containers where manufacturing goods are shipped from China will be able to be tracked to the Mexican ports on the Pacific, where the containers are unloaded onto Mexican trucks and trains for transportation on the I-35 NAFTA superhighway to destinations within the United States. NASCO, a trade association based in Dallas, Texas, has teamed with Lockheed Martin to use RFID tracking technology that Lockheed Martin developed for the U.S. Department of Defense's projects in Iraq and Afghanistan, as well as at U.S. military stations throughout the world. China has a central position in applying the RFID technology on I-35, given Hutchison Port Holdings 49% ownership of Savvy Networks, the Lockheed Martin subsidiary that will get the job of placing the sensors all up and down the NAFTA superhighway. Nathan Hansen, according to Jerome Corsi, a Minnesota attorney, has archived on his blog a series of NASCO documents obtained under a Minnesota Data Practices Act. Among these documents released by Hansen is a letter of intent between NASCO and Savvy Networks, which details how NASCO and Lockheed Martin intend to implement NAFTRAX. The letter calls for Savvy Networks to establish RFID sensors along the I-35 NAFTA trade corridor, with tracking designed to begin at Manzanillo and Lazaro Cardenas, and include, quote, inland points of data capture, unquote, positioned at Laredo, San Antonio, Dallas, Kansas City, the Ambassador Bridge, and Winnipeg. Data captured by the RFID sensors would be sent to a data collection center that NASCO has named, quote, the Center of Excellence, unquote. The Center of Excellence Data Collection Center will be integrated into Lockheed Martin's Militarized Global Transport Network Command and Control Center that is installed and operating at the Lockheed Martin Center for Innovation, or Lighthouse, facility in Suffolk, Virginia. Lockheed Martin's GTN was developed for the Department of Defense as an electronic system used to support supply shipments and defense logistics to U.S. armed forces deployed worldwide. GTN is operated by the U.S. Transportation Command at Scott Air Force Base in Illinois. In releasing to the public the NASCO internal documents, Hansen characterized NASCO's total domain awareness as an Orwellian nightmare, commenting that, quote, at least Orwell's tyrants had the dignity to be created with the names of their various maniacal bureaucracies, unquote. NASCO documents describe total domain awareness as the ability to, quote, automatically gather, correlate, and interpret fragments of multi-source data, including data received from radar, automatic identification system shipboard radar, global positioning system, open source data including weather reports, military intelligence data, law enforcement data, bioterrorism data, plus video surveillance and security cameras. Hansen comments about the NASCO Total Awareness Domain that, quote, truly a major defense contractor tracking our every move here in our own country is undoubtedly a threat to our liberties, unquote. As WorldNet Daily has previously reported, Hutchison Port Holdings owns 49% of Savvy Networks, a subsidiary of Lockheed Martin's wholly owned subsidiary, Savvy Technology. A contract signed with NASCO authorizes Savvy Networks to place a system of RFID sensors along the entire length of I-35 to track RFID-equipped containers, which travel the I-35 NAFTA superhighway, including those Chinese containers that enter the continent through the Mexican ports of Manzanillo and Lazaro Cardenas. The Federal Highway Administration website is currently archiving a slideshow presentation by Tiffany Melvin, NASCO's executive director, containing a discussion of the North American facilitation of transportation trade, reduced congestion, and security. Designed to track containers along I-35 with Savvy RFID technology and to provide the information, quote, to various federal and state Department of Transportation participants, unquote. Hutchison Ports Holding operates the ports of Manzanillo and Lazaro Cardenas, as well as both ends of the Panama Canal. Savvy Technology spokesman refused to return WorldNet Daily calls after messages were left at the company for 3 consecutive days. Folks, there you have some of the major players. There are the Communist Chinese, of course, and Hutchison Whampoa. That name should be familiar to most of us now because of the Panama Canal debacle. Now you see Lockheed Martin and Savvy Technologies entering the picture. Keep an eye on those names. And the North America Super Corridor Coalition Incorporated, or NASCO. Again, Communist China and Hutchison Whampoa, Lockheed Martin and Savvy Technologies, and the North America Super Corridor Coalition Incorporated, or NASCO. These are developments that indicate that we are living in ominous times. And have RFID chips placed in containers that will enable Communist China to do internal tracking within the domestic United States in conjunction with a major American defense contractor should suggest the insanity of the hour in which we live. Jerome Corsi, once again, I think is entirely wrong about the Middle East and entirely wrong about the state of Israel. That's just an honest but very significant difference of opinion between the two of us. But I think he's absolutely right about this whole business of NAFTA and the North American Union and the Security and Prosperity Partnership Arrangement for a North American Union. As you look at this whole issue, we are approaching critical mass when it comes to the whole notion of an American domestic police state. It's not surprising, given what we've been doing abroad, that we suddenly find ourselves looking at the fact that a Leviathan government operating abroad in a fashion that is inconsistent with American constitutional principles is, guess what? The same government that's going to be doing this domestically to our own people. It's happening. Keep an eye on it. It's all just around the corner. There are a number of other interesting items to cover today, which we have been looking at for the last couple of days. And take a look again at what Mike Whitney has posted in his latest discussion of what is happening to the American economy. He has a post entitled "The Grim Reaper." The Grim Reaper. We're going to be covering this whole thing with Greg Felton in a number of minutes. There's another post that's well worth your time. Paul Craig Roberts at Online Journal has something entitled "China's Nuclear Option." China's nuclear option to dump the dollar is real. The Whitney post is entitled "The Grim Reaper Pays a Visit to Wall Street." And we're going to take a look at both of those pieces with Greg Felton in a little while this morning. In regard to what Dr. Roberts has said, of course, he's done an excellent job of reporting on what the United States has been doing in Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan. Paul Craig Roberts, of course, is the former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury under Ronald Reagan, and somebody whose commentary I find to be absolutely striking. We've mentioned him before many, many times on this show because his op-ed pieces are frequently worth referring to on the air. Paul Craig Roberts has an incredible background at the center of the American central banking system. This is a guy, of course, who's been a regular correspondent in the past for the Wall Street Journal, and for Bill Buckley's National Review. Those things, in conjunction with his past with the Reagan administration, suggest that Dr. Roberts knows something about the center of the neoconservative pulse. And yet he has been warning us for months, even years now, of what is transpiring with Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney, what is really going on in regard to the demise of the American empire. So we're talking about somebody who has been writing as one with an amazing past within the system. Michael Collins Piper and Mark Lennon, Mark Dankoff and Hesham Talawi, I think, are all on the same page in regard to these developments, but we have been largely outside the system. We have not been writing for the Wall Street Journal and National Review. We have no past connection with the Hoover Institute and the Stanford Institution that is connected with the Hoover Institution. We have nothing to do, of course, with the other neocon outlets that Dr. Roberts has had a historic connection to. So it's significant that he's saying the things, in the main, that we've been saying. It's even more significant that what Paul Craig Roberts is talking about potentially hints at the fact that there are others of his ilk who are coming on board with us. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton of Vancouver hooks up with us at 8 o'clock this morning Central Time, just 10 minutes from now. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is John Statman, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line-out and external line-in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719, 800-724-2719.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton of Vancouver hooks up with us in about 6 minutes from now. Greg is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. That is a Dandelion Books publication. And you know, as long as we're talking about Greg Felton and where we are headed as far as a roadmap of conversation this morning, we're going to be discussing the Security and Prosperity Partnership Arrangement for North American Union with Greg. In regard to what's happening on the Canadian side of the border, we're going to be talking about what Mike Whitney and Paul Craig Roberts have to say about the character of the American economy and what is really going on in regard to these recent developments for the stock market. And then Greg's also going to give us an update on what is happening with Palestine. Speaking of Palestine, Hesham Talawi will be on the show tomorrow with me for 1 hour from 9 to 10 a.m. Central, talking about Dr. Talawi's own trip to Palestine in recent times. He, of course, covered that topic in Sandpoint, Idaho, at the recent conference, where Michael Collins Piper and Mark Lynn were also in attendance. And I'm really looking forward to talking with Hesham Talawi tomorrow. He is so insightful and so knowledgeable, and what he has to say about what he saw in Palestine a few weeks ago is going to be well worth your time and mine. It's taken me a while to get Dr. Talawi scheduled because of the fact that he has so many other commitments going on, both at the Republic Broadcasting Network as well as at Current Issues Television. But he has agreed to come on tomorrow morning to share things with my listeners about this whole situation as he observes it in Palestine going back just a few weeks ago. So this is kind of where we're headed on the roadmap. I'd like to ask you at this particular time to consider supporting the Republic Broadcasting Network. We need you, and we need you now. If you can possibly help us to continue with what we're doing over the longer haul, please be involved, and please be involved on a regular basis. We need your gifts. We need you to operate for us as a networker. Tell your family members and friends and email contacts about us and invite them to be involved in what we're doing as well. You can call us at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or you can find us at www.republicbroadcasting.org. Support us, folks, to the extent that you possibly can. John Stadtmiller has put together an excellent team of hosts. These guys are all doing their research. They're all bringing the guests to you that you're not going to hear in corporate media. But we need you, and we need you now. The American Free Press needs you. Chris Pethrick has put together an incredible team of correspondents there at AFP. As a result of my own print subscription, I have access to Mark Lynn, Michael Collins Piper, Willis Carto, Mark Anderson, Paul Craig Roberts, Chris Pethrick, and so forth and so on a weekly basis. You can have that same direct access to these men and to what they do week after week in regard to what Mark Lynn has fairly described as America's last real newspaper. Call 1-888-699-NEWS. That's 1-888-699-NEWS to get a subscription to the American Free Press. And their editor, Chris Pethrick, was saying to me the other day that AFP gets a lot of its money to operate from its book sales. If you would like to purchase the good books of Mark Lynn and Michael Collins Piper and the other folks, Matthias Chang comes to mind certainly from Malaysia, all of these fellows have these publications available for you at AFP. Buying the books helps these fine authors and researchers. It also helps the American Free Press. Call them at 1-888-699-NEWS if you want to be involved in continuing to promote America's last real newspaper. Folks, when it comes to the Republic Broadcasting Network or to what we